There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Fall, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial in the second part of the show. This is podcast number 531, October 11th, 2011. Steven?
This F1Weekly podcast is brought to you by Google Ads. Google Ads get you the stuff you want. Click on them, you know you want to.
Thank you, Steven. On today's program, the Massa and Hamilton saga continues. Pirelli not happy with tire-saving tactics. And, of course, we've got to have a bravo, 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 bravo to Sebastian Vettel. Steve, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Wonderful, Mr. Rogers and yourself.
Well, Japanese Grand Prix, excitement, the championship, it's all wrapped up. It's exciting. It was a great race.
It's the race for second place.
Yeah, and well, you know, you have to shoot for something.
Yeah, exactly.
And I know that's anything behind first place is last, as far as most people are concerned, but second place is something.
Yeah, well, so, if you look at a Constructors' Championship money.
Absolutely, that's big bucks.
It makes a difference.
Absolutely, and you've got Force India trying to catch up with Renault.
Everybody Renault trying to keep Force India at bay.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of money at stake here. And, of course, I think second is important for the Drivers' Championship because, okay, Vettel's wrapped up. But Fernando Alonso, you know, Jensen Button, there's going to be a little bit of a fight there.
Exactly. You know, it's the difference between having a 3 or a 5 on your car next season.
Exactly. Steven, keep up the good work. So there you have it. Anyway, let's go right to qualifying. Not too much excitement, except for Bruno Senna crashing in the final practice at Spoon and causing his team to have to work overtime.
Like, yeah, worked very quickly to get his car back into shape so he could actually run in quali.
So that was a little bit brutal, and of course, I think the biggest story was Nico Rosberg having hydraulic issues and
not even getting able to really.
He did one recon lap, and that was it.
Yep, exactly. So he's going to start at the back of the grid, which is, you know, they were looking reasonably good this weekend. You know, not exceptionally good, but they were, you know, points positions definitely, and
absolutely,
they have to start that far back. Rough.
No, they look competitive. Michael Schumacher has been doing a pretty good job. In Q2, I was stunned. Both Renaults make it into Q3, which was pretty impressive. Both, yeah, Senna and Petrov, because obviously Singapore was a disaster for Renault.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, I think for some reason this kind of track is a little bit more suited to Renault's capabilities. They're a little bit better on the more turny tracks because their aero works a little bit better in the corners.
Yeah.
They're not really good on straight line speed. So
out in Q2 was Sergio Perez, Jaime Alguersuari, Buemi, Maldonado, Rubinho, Paul DiResta, and Adrian Sutil, both Force Indias, not capable of getting in the top 10.
Yeah, I'm not
And
really
they were geared to perform.
Yeah, and I'm not sure why. They really weren't very quick. You know, good straight line speed, but they weren't really able to put together a complete lap.
Yeah, I have to admit, I was impressed with seeing both Renaults in Q2, knocking out basically the Force Indias as they put in their fast laps. Let's go to Q3. Kamui Kobayashi comes out first, and of course he's the dude this weekend.
The fan favorite because, you know, it is his home Grand Prix.
It is. It's Kamui's home, away from home. And
not like he spent a
and
lot
everybody
of time
loves
in
it. I mean, this guy goes on the track, and it's the roar of the crowd.
It's like watching the wave as he goes around the track.
It's fun. It's great, and I'm really happy for him. And the Japanese need a little pick-me-up every once in a while. Q3 is also known as some cars don't come out.
Yeah, let's just sit in the garage and save us a ton of time.
Exactly. And it's pretty bad this time.
Is it four cars? Five cars this time.
Well, I mean, it's bad. Pirelli wants the rule changes. Of course, there was, for me, Q3 was exciting. And my favorite part was when Lewis Hamilton dropped his cigarette in the car. And he was obviously preoccupied. And Mark Webber and Michael Schumacher were going, dude, the clock is ticking. We're going to miss our final lap. And it was just bizarre, to say the least. And, of course, that was the talk of the town.
Yeah, yet again another strategic mistake by McLaren in regards to Hamilton's qualification. It's just like, okay, what's it going to be? What's going to be in Korea? What are they going to do this time?
Yeah, no, it's a book now. The chapter at each race, what is Hamilton going to do this weekend?
Yeah, exactly.
And he's put himself in this situation. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
No. And the McLaren was quick. He could have possibly beaten out El Muy Polster Hombre.
Yeah, no, he could have. Because I was thinking he had some good times. Obviously, Button was on top of every practice. Lewis Hamilton right behind. Vettel and Mark Webber, not as fast as we anticipated. No. McLaren has done a fantastic job. Red Bull flew in a new front wing. It got there 30 minutes ahead of time. What's really hilarious is Sebastian Vettel offered to pay to get this front wing, you know, he wanted to pay extra to get this plane to go faster to make sure this wing got there. It gets there, and boom, he gets pole by 9/1000ths of a second.
Exactly. Probably important that he got that wing, because, you know, that may have been that.
It may have.
9/10ths of a, you know, 9/1000ths of a second.
And Jenson Button couldn't believe it.
No. And Lewis Hamilton couldn't believe that he can get in another hot lap.
Well, what's funny, I don't think Martin Whitmarsh could believe it. They thought for sure that, okay, we are going to get pole, we're going to dominate this weekend, and Red Bull, okay, they'll win their championship, but nobody cares.
Yeah, exactly.
And that didn't happen. It was fascinating. And once again, Vettel, another pole position. He has gotten both poles in the last 2 years at Suzuka. Another pole. And he always wins from pole, by the way.
Almost always.
Almost always. So, fascinating. It was great stuff. And, of course, the lineup was Sebastian Vettel, Jenson Button, Lewis Hamilton, Felipe Massa out-qualifying Fernando Alonso and Hombre Macho de España. Fernando Alonso after Massa. And my favorite part was Lewis Hamilton and Felipe Massa side by side.
I mean, did you call it?
Did I call that? Thank you very much. I mean, that's all we wanted.
Yeah. Well, that's all we wanted. Button next to Vettel.
Yeah.
And Massa next to Hamilton.
I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It was fantastic. Fernando Alonso and Mark Webber. Schumacher and Bruno Senna, Vitaly Petrov, and Kamui Kobayashi in 10th place. He, because of that fiasco and people not getting in that final lap, Kamui Kobayashi was given 7th.
Yeah, which was, wow. You know, home Grand Prix, good job.
Fantastic. So very impressive stuff. And of course, Nico Rosberg will start 23rd due to hydraulic problems. And what can you do?
And Vittorio Liuzzi, you know, he's always going to start last. So.
Well, what I don't understand is, okay, both of these guys obviously don't put in a lap, so they're under the 107% rule. But once again, the rule isn't enforced.
Well, I think Nico could go and point at his practice laps and go, hey, we were competitive, we were very close to the front of the spear. We've shown that we can go well below the 107% rule. I'm not so sure how HRT argues their point.
Well, there's only 24 cars. They have sponsors that want to see the cars out there. I think they're just trying to be nice.
Yeah, I think ultimately, in that case, when it's one of the cars and their other car was in the numbers, that probably works towards their advantage in the argument that, you know, hey, our car is quick enough to be on the track and not be a moving chicane.
Exactly. So anyway, let's go right to race day. Perfect weather, no rain.
Crazy good weather in Japan.
It was very, very nice. Nice and dry. And of course, the talk of the town, again, was the tires. We've got the medium and soft compounds.
And the fact that Suzuka is the maw of tire-eating tracks. It's just crazy how, you know, abrasive this track can be.
Well, it's a figure eight.
Yeah. So you get both loads in both directions. And then for some reason, the tarmac here is really gritty, I guess you could say.
Right.
It is really abrasive on the tires.
Especially on the super softs or softs.
Well, in this case, the softs. And the softs are lasting less than super softs were in
Singapore.
Or yeah,
we had super softs in Singapore.
Yeah, and you know they're talking 8-9 laps. You know, you can maybe get 12 out of them if you baby the crap out of them, but otherwise they're going quick.
Yeah, no, I agree. So anyway, let's go right to the start. Great start for Sebastian Vettel, and I like it because obviously he had a little chit chat with Michael Schumacher, and he brought back the chop.
Yeah,
the chop move, just go right to the right in front of everybody, just push people off the street. And it works.
I didn't really see him.
And I love this. We'll talk about that later. But yes, he almost pushes Jenson Button into the grass a little bit. Not a big deal, of course. Jenson Button gets on the telephone and calls the office and says, "I think he should get a penalty for this." Nah. And it will be investigated in a few laps. Paul DiResta is up to P8 from P12. Very impressive.
Well, Kamui Kobayashi has a horrible start.
Yeah, once again, the anti-stall kicks in. Just terrible.
He loses four straight. Basically, he lost four places before he even got out of his box.
It was sad.
It was horrible.
But his people still support him, Steve.
Oh, yes. But that was like, dude, why are you letting everybody go by?
Not only that, but Bruno Senna had a bad start. Rubens Barrichello had a bad start. Jaime Alguersuari had a bad start, so... not a big deal. By lap four, Sebastian Vettel has a 1.7-second lead, and Nico Rosberg is already in P19.
Yeah.
So, obviously, when you've got a fast car and you're in the back, you're definitely going to get through the HRTs and the Virgins.
And Vettel's leading away Lewis Hamilton, who's in second place.
Exactly.
And on the opening lap.
Right. On lap six, it's Vettel, Hamilton, Button, Alonso, Massa, Weber, Schumacher, Rista, Sutil, and Vitaly Petrov. On lap eight, Lewis Hamilton pits. I thought it was a pretty early stop. I wasn't sure if it was strategic or not, but he obviously started on the softs.
Right, and there was some chatter on the radio just before he went in that maybe he was having his rear tires had gone out.
Well, no, apparently it was a slow puncture in the end. I never saw a flat tire.
Yeah, because Button goes past me like going, team orders?
Yeah. And at first, you know, I know there's a number one and number two at McLaren, like there is everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
But they don't want to admit it. So I thought that's what was going on. But apparently, yes, he had a slow puncture. He pits for new tires. Lap nine, Sebastian Vettel pits pretty early. Goes back on the softs. Jenson Button pits on lap 10, along with Fernando Alonso, Weber, Rista, Kamui Kobayashi, and Heikki Kovalainen. Massa pits on lap 11. On lap 12, Sebastian Buemi is off, and apparently they forgot to put the wheel nut on.
Yeah, really sad. He's you see him slowing down, and as he's pulling off the track, the tire slowly, his right front slowly works its way off.
And went kerplunk.
Kerplunk. It was too funny. It kind of, his nose dives in, the wheel rolls off, rolls around, and then lands on the wing. It was like, here, let me put this on here. Let me put this down here so you could easily get the whole thing with you.
Yeah, it was sad. I mean, I have to admit, it was sad. Lap 16, fast lap of the race, Jenson Button with a 139.0. Kamui Kobayashi passes Jaime Alguersuari. Jenson Button now closing in on Vettel. Lap 19, Vettel pits. Mark Webber pits as well. What are they thinking? Why would you be stacking the cars when you don't need to?
Yeah, especially this what amounts to an early stage of the race.
But these guys have so much confidence that there is no stacking. Vettel comes in. Mark Webber comes in as well, but there's just enough seconds between each car.
It's phenomenal
pit stop work.
Reset the box and they're ready for Webber. That is one of the teams that has really tightened it up in their pit. They can turn a car. They are probably 80% of the time the fastest team in the...
Of course, on lap 21, our favorite Laurel and Hardy, Felipe Massa and Lewis Hamilton, get into a little tizzy. Hamilton is a bit slow. Felipe Massa goes out on the outside. Lewis Hamilton says, "I do not see nothing. I hear nothing." And obviously, the saga continues.
Yep.
It's so beautiful.
And this time, their saga slows down the whole race.
It does, because there's debris on the track. People are whining. And I'm telling you, I was stunned when the safety car sign came out.
basically for an end plate in the middle of the track. Are we the steward?
No,
hyper safety conscious to the stewards. There's Japan something wrong. What?
There's something rotten in Denmark when you're doing this. What happened to these marshals that risked their lives?
When I first saw the safety car graphic come up, I'm like, going, what? I didn't know we had competition cautions in Formula 1.
It looked like a competition caution. And to be honest with you, I am signing the petition to remove Charlie Whiting from his job. Well, he's been doing it way too long.
And I don't see... You can't tell me that there wasn't a gap in traffic long enough for a steward to hop out there, get that, and get it off the track without...
Exactly.
So that's laying everybody up behind a safety car. The safety car was out for one lap.
Well, it was out for two, but I'm pushing for Flavio Briatore to replace Charlie Whiting. What do you think?
I don't think it's going to happen.
God, I think it would be good. The pink glasses... A little, a little bravo, 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 fisichella. I don't know. It sounds good to me. Lap 25, safety car is still out. Lewis Hamilton and Felipe Massa's incident will be investigated by the stewards.
Once again.
Lap 27, the safety car comes in. Good start for everybody. Jenson Button did back up the pack pretty hard.
I was watching that and wondering...
I thought he was in breach.
Yeah, he looked to me like he was probably getting himself pretty close to the maximum gap to the safety car with what he was doing.
A great start in the end. Jenson Button takes off. Vettel after him. Fast lap of the race on lap 28. Jenson Button with a 137.5. And then Lewis Hamilton gets on the phone and says he's having a lot of understeer and he's not a happy camper.
And they come back with, let your tires warm up. It's probably a pressure problem.
And they also said, don't hit anybody.
Shit, stop hitting everybody.
So, fascinating. Good race for Jenson Button. Lap 33, Sebastian Vettel pits, goes with the medium compound, and comes out in P11. And in traffic, this was not a really well-timed pit stop.
No, didn't work out well for him at all. Put him in a really bad spot. Part of the problem being is that safety car bunched up the field. And so... The lead that he and the other leaders had been compressed significantly, and so that's why he's so far down the pack when he comes back out after that pit stop.
Well, and to be honest with you, this is good racing to watch because it's not great strategy from his team, but still, we get to see Sebastian Vettel pass people instead of just leading the race all the time.
Yeah,
which is good. He gets by Nico Rosberg pretty quickly. Adrian Sutil, the team tells Sebastian Vettel on lap 37. You have to finish the race on this set of tires because Jenson Button's looking pretty strong. Lap 39, Vitaly Petrov pits, fast lap of the race. Sergio Perez with a 136.5, Steven.
Really?
Excuse me, that was pretty fun. I really enjoyed that. And it shows that...
It shows that the Saubers have got something going for them.
Well, with fresh tires, they do have a Ferrari engine that's not bad.
And their aero is halfway decent.
I agree.
You don't get into Q3 without at least halfway decent aero.
Yep, lap 40, Lewis Hamilton passes Nico Rosberg with the DRS. 41, Schumacher pits, comes out in P6. He had led the race for a few laps. Very impressive. Keep up the good work, Mercedes Grand Prix. Lap 48, the team tells Mark Webber, no risky business. Don't try to do something funny. Yeah,
no risky business. Sebastian's not doing anything risky either.
Yeah, exactly what they do. In other words, hold... Until you're relieved. They remind me of Pegasus Bridge. Hold until relieved.
Yeah, it was more about, you guys are in clear air. Stay there.
Yeah. And, of course, the exciting part for me in the last five laps was watching Fernando Alonso really bang in some great laps and really start to catch Jenson Button. And for a moment, Fernando Alonso was under the 1 second part, the use of DRS. Yes. And it was very interesting for a moment there. Button and Fernando Alonso both had their rear wings open, and there was a reason for that, because another car had just come in.
Backbuckers are good.
Yeah. Second to the last lap, they get on the horn, and they tell Jenson Button, you might want to bang in a nice fast lap to keep Fernando Alonso out of the 1 second mark, so he doesn't get you. And he does. He brings it back up to 1.2 seconds. Outstanding job by Jenson Button. Smooth, no mistakes. And I can see, he just got the multi-year contract. He's got a good-looking girlfriend. This guy's the happiest man on earth.
Exactly.
And it shows steady, smart racing.
Yeah. First quality. You can see where or how he managed to win the world championship. Just steady, smart. He and his engineers are on the same page, which we don't seem to see with Lewis. You know, Lewis seems to be kind of running around rogue because otherwise he would have gotten that extra lap in quali. Much more professional.
Not only that, but I remember when McLaren signed Hamilton and we made the same mistake everybody did. Going into Lewis Hamilton's den, this is Hamilton's home. Hamilton's going to out-qualify you, out-race you. And Hamilton has fallen off the Rock of Gibraltar, and Jenson Button has done an outstanding job.
Yeah. And Jenson's come in there and done what he does, and he's done it damn well.
Yeah. And, of course, congratulations to Red Bull Renault and Sebastian Vettel for winning the Formula One Drivers' World Championship. A great job by them. And, yeah. And Vettel, so much more maturity than last year.
Yeah, and a lot better luck.
Not only that, but the car is much more dependable.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so that's what I mean by
luck. We have not spoken about the brittle Adrian Newey design this year at all.
Well, he hasn't DNF'd because of a mechanical failure. In fact, is he...
Has anybody DNF'd?
I'm trying to think. Has he not finished a race this season?
No. All of them. He's finished everything.
Yeah, and so, you know, last year, you got to this point, he'd been unable to finish, what, four?
Well, and that used to be a very strong variable in Formula One, is the DNF, the DNF chapel. Who was going to have the kablamo? But these days, these things have become so dependable, except for hydraulic issues. And most of the time, the hydraulic issue rears its ugly head, like at Williams very often, and, of course, Nico Rosberg's car in qualifying.
Well, I think you've got the top-end teams have realized that it pays to put just that tiny fraction of weight back on the car to make sure that, you know, you've got solid connections on your hydraulics. Some of those other easily broken issues, beef them up just a tiny bit. You can afford the little weight gain because the rest of the car is so damn light.
Well, they've done a great job. Fernando Alonso came in second. Great job for Ferrari. Vettel, third. And, of course, he only needed 1 point.
Yeah.
And he was happy being on the podium. That way he could chit-chat, because we certainly hate it when a championship is not on the podium and he's wandering aimlessly in the press.
He's off in the crowd. We're like, where'd he go?
Correct. Mark Webber came in second. Lewis Hamilton, Schumacher, Massa, Sergio Perez, great job, Vitaly Petrov, and Nico Rosberg in the top 10, starting 23rd.
Congratulations to Nico. That was a really good race for him. He won one-stop strategy? Or did he go in twice?
He went in thrice.
Thrice.
Most people, there was a lot of pit stops.
Yeah. Well, the softs only last in 10 laps when you got 50. Yeah, kind of have to.
Yeah. Great job by Nico. And, of course, the rumor mill is turning. And now there's a lot of talk about Nico Rosberg trying to get Felipe Massa's seat.
Didn't he just sign a big fat contract with Mercedes?
Steve, I'm just
as the most highly paid driver who's never won a race?
No, that's Fernando. I'm not sure. But apparently, these rumors are going to be out there. Contracts are meaningless anyway.
Ultimately, if somebody really wants to go.
I don't think he...
I can't see Mercedes letting him
go. I think he should... Well, not only that, but I think he should stay at Mercedes. Mercedes will begin to win. Now that they have Jeff Willis, Bob Bell, they've got the...
They've got who's who of former championship executive for engineer types.
And now Aldo Costa has gone over there to be part of the old Braun group. So I'm pretty excited. I think if he was smart, stay at Mercedes. Ferrari, why would you want to have a teammate like Fernando Alonso?
No, you don't want
who demands number one status.
Right.
Yeah. That seat's probably going to go to Sergio Perez.
And Frank, if Nico were really smart, he wouldn't be trying to get into Ferrari. He'd be trying to get into Red Bull.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely. Weber is only going to be there one more year, so we'll see what happens. Anyway, let's get to the saga. Of course, Jackie Stewart never won without an opinion. These are his comments on Hamilton's disposition. Stewart says, I quote, "It's to do with the mind. God gives you huge amounts of natural talent, whoever it may be, whether it be a Wayne Rooney, a Muhammad Ali, or Pele, or whether it was the great Fangio or Jim Clark, but there has got to be mental management. The mind management. He has had more collisions than any other major driver I know in the history of motorsports."
You must not have watched much when David Coulthard was on the track.
David Coulthard is a Scot.
Oh, wow.
And his
blinders. Blinders.
But you gotta love that. Now, Felipe Massa, he's always got a couple things to say. And it's every week now. And I'm looking forward to Korea. I mean, I just can't wait. But anyway, Massa says, quote, "I don't care, to be honest, about what he said. The only thing I care about is what he did. He was so slow in 130R, and he stayed on the right-hand side. I was much quicker, so I went to the left-hand side and braked there. I stayed on my line, he moved his car, and touched my car. There's nothing more to say. For what he does, I don't care. I don't care about nothing but the FIA investigating this man to the full extent of the law. They have penalized people for much less this year, and this time they didn't do it. Maybe if I see Charlie, I will speak to him. But there's nothing really to say now, is there?" So, yeah, Massa, bitter.
He's getting very bitter.
And well, and not only that, but my favorite part is Lewis Hamilton, when they asked him, "This guy's getting really smart. I think the mind is fine." He says, "My mirrors are rattling and shaking so much, I cannot see nothing. I do not hear nothing." It's perfect. So, Lewis Schultz Hamilton. Thank you very much. Vettel was questioned right before they went out on the podium by Jenson Button going, "What's the dealio with pushing me into the grassio?" He said that he never saw Jenson Button. Vettel apologized to Button after the race and insisting he had not seen him, but also joked that he had coped fine when edged towards the grass himself by Fernando Alonso as they battled in the Italian Grand Prix. Vettel says, "Ask Fernando. I think Formula One cars can go on the grass with two wheels. I didn't mean to push Button on the grass intentionally. I thought I had a very good start and knew that it wasn't perfect, but I knew it was good. When I stop in my box, when the lights go off, I can't see Jensen. The reference, really, after I have done my bit, is Lewis. I thought maybe Jensen didn't have a good start because of the dirty side of the tracks." Well, it doesn't matter. He's world champion.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, they did say they were going to investigate at the beginning of the race.
And I believe it came back with no penalties.
No, and Charlie Whiting has said a million times that the first lap, the start of the race, you can't really investigate two individuals who are trying to start a Grand Prix because there's just so much going on.
Right, and you can get two tires in the grass, just don't try to turn.
So there you have it, great race. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We've got an outstanding Motorsports Mondial coming up right after this brief message from Bell Auto Care.
Do you own a European or Japanese vehicle and live in the New York tri-state area? Then I want to tell you about Bell Auto Care. Bell Auto Care is a Bosch authorized repair shop with over 35 years of dedication in providing honest, friendly, and up-to-date repair and preventative maintenance to vehicles like yours and mine. Not only is this the shop in the New York area to take your European or Japanese car, they are F1 and MotoGP enthusiasts as well. So go to bellautocare.com to check out their special deals, F1 and MotoGP news, or for more information, and ring their bell to care for your car.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mundial and the king of Karachi himself, Nasser Hamid.
Ring-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding.
Greetings and ring-ding-ding regards. Bastian is king again, and Button wins the race for McLaren without raindrops keep falling on his head, which was pretty impressive. And nothing seems to fit for Lewis Hamilton as he and Massa meet again on the track. How long will this go on?
For years.
Is Massa having some flashback of the Brazilian Grand Prix 2008 and now trying to get even with him?
No, I think every time he turns his head and something hits him, it's Lewis Hamilton.
It's amazing. I'm amazed at Lewis, too. With all this hoopla going on about him and his aggressive driving, they meet again.
And again.
Amazing.
I mean, I don't know. It's bizarro.
It is. Sebastian Vettel has now joined an elite group of drivers who won back-to-back championships. First driver to do so was Alberto Ascari in 1952 and 53. Then came the likes of Fangio, Brabham, Prost, Senna, Schumacher, and the man who came second at Suzuka on Sunday. Who can it be now?
El Macho.
Of course, none though. Suzuka has seen many epic season finale, but this was just about to happen. All he had to do was get the finger he shows 1 point. The 2011 season has been a one-sided story from race one. Vettel winning from pole, as we recall. The score so far is very impressive. 15 races this year, 12 poles, 14 front row starts, and 14 podium finishes. Interestingly, only non-front row start and non-podium finish was in home Grand Prix. 9 wins this year. I don't know what happened to him in Germany, of all the places where he should have gotten pole and win.
Distractions, possibly. You know, that's the one place where a lot of people are going to be in his face compared to where he is elsewhere.
Too much sauerkraut.
Maybe the St. Pauli girl interviewed him night before the race.
Yeah, and he's got that Volkswagen van, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of trouble.
A lot of room in the back.
Yeah, caravan.
Yes. Okay, the story so far, 77 races, 33 podium finishes, 19 victories, 27 pole position, and of course 2 world championships. You know, there are many great drivers, Nigel Mansell being one of them, who took over 100 races. Jenson Button also, before they won a race, and this guy has done 77 races and 2 championships. Very impressive. If the Red Bull steamroller continues like this next year, then there is a good chance Vettel will have 3 championships by the age Schumacher won his first. One thing he does not have to worry about now is competition from the teammate. I mean, Mark Webber will really have to grill deep down to come back and beat him, but, you know, you never know. Proof positive, put a real good driver in the best car and he is off to the races. Smooth operator of the race was Jenson Button, win number 3 of the season, while teammate Hamilton again has a difficult race. And he's having problem with qualifying also. I don't know what's going
on.
He's
always in trouble. You know, he needs to go talk to Jackie Stewart.
Jackie Stewart may be a wee bit, correct on what he's saying. Yeah, but I'm kind of surprised that he has now put Lewis Hamilton ahead of Ayrton Senna in terms of number of drivers he has crashed into.
Yeah, because Jackie Stewart in the famous interview with Senna,
It's
exactly the same question, same answer. It's beautiful stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. JB is proving how wrong KV, that is Kovalainen, was when he said McLaren is Lewis's team. Best way to be top dog in a team is to dominate your teammate. Simple as that. If you've done that, you've done your homework. Now we come to Nando. He knows how to bring in points as much as the car will allow, sometimes more. A little mistake by Button and Nando would have zipped by, but that never happened. And JB was happy to win in front of Jessica's people. And he looked very sincere about his concern for Japan and Japanese people.
I'm sure.
So that was good. And it was good to see Formula One fraternity, you know, be so positive toward, you know, what has happened in Japan and try to help. Mexican Sergio Perez was 8th, and his name is now being linked to a Ferrari drive in 2013. It was good to see Petrov also in the points, 9th. How much hoopla now there is, Sergio Perez might go to Ferrari. And he has done a very good job. He is outpacing Kobayashi, and that's saying quite something. Especially from a guy who not many gave him a chance of, you know, success. Jerome D'Ambrosio of Belgium was 21st for Virgin. Now that Virgin-supported driver Robert Wickens has won the World Series by Renault, it will not be a surprise if the Belgian is replaced by the Canadian in 2012. Wickens said after winning the World Series by Renault championship, "I'm more than ready for F1. And he has been following his career for a long time. Very talented kid, and he was dropped by Red Bull despite doing a very good job, so I would love to see him do well. The Formula One flavor changes from sushi to kimchi as we go next weekend to the Korean Grand Prix for only the second time, and let's hope the track is all finished by now. Last year's race was run in heavy downpour. Mark Webber's championship hopes took a big hit when he crashed while chasing Alonso for second place. That second place turned into race lead and win after Vettel's engine was done blowed up just before the finish. Yeah, when you remember Weber's crash, I think he crashed and collected Nico Rosberg, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. And when I saw him do that, I said, there goes his championship. That crash and the running into Kovalainen at Valencia did him in. British F3, the final round and final three races at Silverstone. Winners were Kevin Magnussen from pole in race one over Scott Pye and Felipe Nasr, who has already clinched the championship. Alexander Sims of England in race two and final race of the season saw first ever win for Carlos Huertas of Colombia over Magnussen. Looks like Magnussen, of course son of Jan Magnussen, will stay with Carlin Motorsports in 2012 but race in World Series by Renault, which may also be the destination of Felipe Nasr and Robin Freins. Freins is the kid and a friend of F1 Weekly who won the Formula Renault Euro Cup this year. Talking of World Series by Renault, the season finale was in Barcelona at the F1 circuit. Championship battle was between Carlin teammates and friends Robert Wickens of Canada and Jean-Éric Vergne of Francia. Wickens started good for Wickens as he claimed pole and victory over Vergne in the opening race, giving him a 9-point advantage over his Francais rival. In Sunday's final race of the season, Wickens again outqualified Vergne, but then harum scarum in the first corner, and this is available on YouTube or you can go to gpupdate.net and see this thing. They touch while turning right, just like they do on Discovery Channel between Hamilton and Massa. And there was another contact turning left. This took out Wickens with a broken suspension, and the commentator goes, "There goes the championship." And he collected Nathaniel Berthon, who went airborne upside down, but happily was not hurt. Vergne's car also had some damage. He was able to continue but dropped on the outer, and then he was taken out of his misery by Feroz Fawzi, who spun him out. So Wickens becomes the first Canadian or the first North American to win World Series by Renault. And on GPUpdate.net, there is an interview with Wickens, and he was asked if he has been in contact with JV, the Canadian F1 champion, one of your favorites. Please check it out for interesting answer to this question. As far as the French JV is concerned, Jean-Éric Vergne, all I want to know is if he and Wickens are still les friends. What do you think?
Les bons amis?
I think he's a little bit pissed off at
what happened. Yeah, but that's part of racing.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you dive bomb to pass the guy who's leading the championship, the door is going to close very quickly. And, you know, Wickens is lucky that Wickens was out right away. Vergne was able to continue. If he did not have much damage, he probably would have collected more than 9 points to, you know, win the championship. But both are very good drivers, and Vergne will be doing some Friday testing. I just have a feeling that he might do some career damage to Buemi or Jaime Alguersuari. But time will tell. Looking forward, this is interesting, looking forward to next season, the World Series by Renault schedule has been announced. No race in UK. Can you imagine no World Series by Renault in UK?
That's hard to believe.
Yeah, for a major series.
Especially considering how many tracks there are that typically take those races.
Well, there could have been a clash with British F3, Formula One. There's a lot of series.
Most of the teams are based there.
Well, ça c'est la vie, hein?
Yeah, and but they're going to have a race in Moscow, as in Russia, not Idaho. So I heard they might even have a race in Brazil. So,
that would be cool.
Yeah, that would be very cool. It would become a major, you know,
international. Okay, and let's not forget Alexander Rossi. He came in third.
And he was Rookie of the Year.
Correct. So good for another F1 Weekly friend.
Yes, you know, our friends are, you know, are almost there on the border of F1.
They're just knocking on that F1 door.
Yeah. F1 Weekly has brought them to the doors of F1.
Let's just hope they remember.
Yeah, well, some of them will remember that.
Some of them, and some of them won't.
No, of course, some of them will say, screw this guy. He's come back here again.
Yeah, they only want to talk to Lee McKenzie.
Yeah, exactly, or Holly Samos.
Exactly.
And, Rossi, you know, good thing for him is he was third in the championship, and 2 years ago he was in Formula Master, where he was also a race winner, and Rookie of the Year in GP3. He finished, I believe, fourth. And won races. So, you know, as long as you can stay in the top five, because the competition is pretty brutal. If you stay in the top five and you're winning races, you know, with a little help, you can get into Formula and survive and succeed. And we would love to see that happen to Rossi and some of these other very talented kids. And I remember, you know, talking to Robert Wickens, was it last year? No, maybe 2 years ago when he was in GP3. No, it was last year, GP3. He mentioned that, you know, he does not come from a family where they can just write a check and he can go racing. So he's come the hard way and very talented. So happy for him. Okay, the Bathurst 1000. Did you see any of this on TV?
You know, I couldn't because I have a lot of busy activities during my life and I can't stop for the boogity boogity down under. Okay. But I heard some great stuff about this.
Yeah, I've known about this race.
About this specific one that was covered by your friend, Daryl Waltrip.
Yeah, did you watch any of this,
Mr. Fah? I cut the last 10 laps.
Yeah.
A lot of fun watching those last 10 laps. It was really interesting.
Thanks to Speed TV, the great Australian race was shown in America for the first time, and what a treat it was. Great track and a great finish. Garth Tender took his third win at Mount Panorama Track, holding off a charging Craig Lowndes. I really thought that they will come together and third place guy will win.
Well, I actually thought that Lowndes was going to get him. He was a little bit quicker. You know, he was eating up ground on him. You know, basically had three laps to pass him and just really couldn't. He got really close once.
Now, it was one of those things. Catching up is one thing, passing is another.
Exactly.
And he was quite a ways down in fourth place in the last 10, 15 laps to came up to.
This could be a good series.
Yeah, he was more than 5 seconds behind.
Yeah.
I think like 6, 8 laps to go and made that time up to get within it.
I watched most of it, by the way. I was loving it.
You always love it.
Yeah, absolutely. As long as cars are turning right and left, they have my undivided attention. This was win number 50 for the driver in the series. And, you know, Garth Tender's wife, Leanne Tender, used to race also in Australian F3, but now she's a mamito, so she quit racing. Good for her. This was win number 50 for the driver in the series and win number 200 for Holden Racing Team. And Holden, of course, is part of General Motors in
Australia. There was a Holden for sale on eBay, and it happened to be right here in San Jose.
Oh, cool.
Really?
Yeah. I was going to call you, Steve. I thought you might want to buy it.
Or go check it out, at least.
It was bitching.
Yeah.
For GMs, they're really nice-looking cars.
They are. They are nice-looking cars. I was surprised it was right here in San Jose.
Yeah. Victory made his teammate Nick Percat one of the few to win the race on his debut. And I heard that Jackie Ickx, when he won with Alan Moffat, that was also on his debut. But it's I've known of this race even before I started following Formula One. I had a magazine from Castrol, courtesy of my uncle, and there were some pictures of this race. So it's very interesting, and I'm very interested in one day going and checking out the track. So we'll see how it goes. Lowndes and Mark Scaife were second, ahead of pole sitter Greg Murphy and Ellen Simonson.
We also get another one in 2 weeks.
Oh, the Gold Coast race?
The Gold Coast.
Yeah. Have you ever seen any of the
races?
Very good. And live?
I believe so.
Yeah, but the timing is pretty decent. And have you ever seen a race, MotoGP, or any race at Phillip Island?
No.
That is a beautiful
track. I've seen laps at Bathurst before.
Yeah.
It's always fun to watch them going up that hill.
Yeah, Phillip Island is beautiful. Fantastic. But they do the MotoGP race also, which is normally won by Casey Stoner. Anyway, now we come to your favorites series.
The Lunesca.
And where are they now? Kansas. Jimmy Johnson from El Cajon, California, was the winner. He is hoping for a championship number, which is very impressive. Casey Kane, another driver from the left coast, as in Washington State, was second, and third was Brad Keselowski from Michigan, who drives for a gentleman from Shaker Heights, Ohio, but lives in Michigan, Mr. Penske. And Keselowski was the winner of the nationwide race. You know, Brad Keselowski and this guy, I think it was Joey Logano, they were coming through the system together, and Logano was looking like the guy was going to be really top dog. I mean, he's a pretty good driver, but now Keselowski has come on fire, man. He's doing very well. Your favorite Greg Biffle was 8th, Marcus Ambrose 9th, and Monty a solid 23rd. Finally, we end Motorsports Mondial with Musical Mondial and some very nice music from Dizzy Gillespie and company. Thank you for listening, and please enjoy. Let's try that section right there.
another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. We're going to go right into the wrap-up with 50 words on the Japanese Grand Prix. Steven?
First, from Neon Zapper, Suzuka is always exciting, and 2011 is in the books as Sebastian Vettel cautiously wrapped up his second World Drivers' Championship. Congratulations, Sebastian Vettel and Red Bull Renault.
Kei Sin says Vettel does all that he has to. Button shows again that he's number one in McLaren, and Alonso so nearly gets the top spot. Interesting that the top three after the race looked about as tired as if they'd just taken a trip to the shops.
Lap Traffic writes, Vettel makes a totally unnecessary Schumacher move on Button at the start. Vettel is lucky Button played it classy and didn't let the two of them end up a smoking heap at turn one. Button still manages to take the lead in the end. Congrats to Button and Alonso on a great race. Congrats to Vettel on clinching the championship. Button for 2012 WDC.
The quarter Schumacher pulls a Schumacher, and Hunilton's rip of Massa's end plate could have wrecked Button's run from Vettel. Likely moot anyways, as Vettel managed to stay on the island. Contrary to potential post-driving acting career, Jensen's car apparently lacks an oil slick Button, much to everyone's irritation. And that's from Gurr.
Gurr. Yay, right. So Jensen Button can win a dry race on a fast circuit. I fear after the start that we could be in for a snoozy Suzuka, but we were not let down by the three number ones. If I were Massa, I'd really start to think Hammy has something personal against me.
Iceman says, Red Bull and Vettel get the job done in the land of the rising sun. Jens stamps his authority in McLaren with another win. Looks as though you have to call Sebastian to be a motorsport world champion. That's what I'm talking about!
Interraptor writes, another win for Vettel, another missed start by Weber, another crash by Hamilton. Oh, no, wait. Well, at least Lewis can be counted on. Nice win by Jensen, and another quiet drive into the points by Perez.
And from Con, C-O-N, Con, great drive from Button to win this race, but Vettel did what needed to be done to wrap it up. Massa must be getting sick of being hit by Hamilton. Congratulations to the 2011 Formula One World Drivers' Champion, Sebastian Vettel! So there you have it. Love the forum. Check the forum out. Lots of activities and chit-chat. And of course, now we've got the Korean Grand Prix, so get your kimchi order while you can. Quickly, San Francisco Formula One group, SFF1.com. They get together, they drink, and they watch Formula One races in venues around the San Francisco Bay Area. Cameron Karting is proud to organize and support the 2011 Redline Oil Karting Championship. Cameron Karting offers CRG karts, engines, parts for all karts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California karters. For more information, simply go to CameronKarting.com. I want to mention our Facebook, Twitter, Google+, MySpace sites. Just do a search for F1 Weekly and like us, please. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, just email me at info@F1Weekly.com. Thanks for listening, and good night.
Good night.